White Sox fans, and welcome back in to the Sox on Tap postgame show. It's Tony Marchese alongside NWI Steve. We're finally talking about a White Sox winner. Steven, you prompted this show. It was probably, what, the sixth, seventh inning. You said you had some things to say, so we're hashtag back here as the Sox are hashtag back in the left-hand column. It's good to be back here again with you talking White Sox baseball. Steve, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, yo, Anthony, it's always good to get together and talk after you put one in that left-hand column. Baby, we are hashtag back, finally.
It is. It's been a very rough start to the season. We discussed that on our series recap on Sunday night. And now we're looking at this thing right here, Steve. We said we're not going to get a win out of this series. I don't think either you or I expected us to beat your Barves by any stretch of the imagination. But this was a special ball game tonight. I know you have a lot to say about Garrett Crochet. I do as well. But, man, it was just pure filth coming out of Garrett Crochet's arm today. I am so impressed with this. Let's just start here.
Garrett Crochet, you have my attention, okay? I know I expressed a lot of concerns about him shifting into the starting rotation at the start of the season. Granted, it is only two starts here, but the early returns have been absolutely spectacular. Obviously, opening day, you go out there against a team in the Detroit Tigers that is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a contending team, a vaunted lineup by any means. But the Barves are. They were the best offense in the sport a year ago. And they are returning essentially the exact same core group of players that they had a year ago that tied a major league record with 307 home runs in a season and just set all kinds of records for team slugging percentage and just up and down that lineup. It's a modern-day murderer's row, 1 through 9 right there. And so for Garrett Crochet to go out there tonight against an offense like that and do what he did, there's a lot of positive things to take from it. I really kind of got into some of the minutia on some stuff here today, and there's a lot of different angles that I was looking at and watching in real time with this thing, and that's really what prompted us to come to you all live tonight.
And, you know, it's always good to have positive things to talk about, especially with this team. We discussed this sort of ad nauseum on Sunday of how brutal this series could potentially be. And I know opening day, Garrett Crochet came out there and looked like an ace. And he followed that performance up with another ace-like performance today. This is probably the most positive development that you can have as far as a storyline so far this season. You had the same concerns that I did about Garrett Crochet moving into the rotation. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence that he was going to be able to make it 5+ innings. We had the clip that went out just earlier today, you talking about what he did in that opening day start, and it met all of your pitching philosophies, Steven, your wonderful pitching philosophies that you like to talk about on these airwaves. I think you get to talk about him again today with what he put on display.
Oh, and I've got some more pitching philosophies that I want to talk about here today. Some of them quantifiable, some of them non-quantifiable, because everybody knows I'm about balance in these parts here. So let's talk quantifiable stuff if we can here.
Sure.
7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Again, against this Atlanta Braves team, one of, if not the best offense in the sport. That is getting the job done. I talk all the time about the importance of attacking, being aggressive in the strike zone, and pitching with conviction. There's a guy in that Atlanta Barves clubhouse right now that was a little bit of a whipping boy when he was wearing a White Sox uniform for not pitching with conviction. What we saw from Garrett Crochet tonight was the complete antithesis of the Aaron Bummer experience, because he went out there, he took the ball with conviction each and every time and said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to shove it up your ass, and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. 25 batters Garrett Crochet faced tonight, 22 first pitch strikes. That is how you hashtag set the tone for an at bat. You go out there, you pitch ahead in the count, and you put the hitter on the defensive right away. He's going out there, and of those first pitches, of those 25, he diversified things pretty well. 11 first-pitch fastballs, 5 first-pitch cutters, 6 first-pitch sliders, was really fastball-heavy that first time through the order. Then that second time through, when you know that a team has seen you once already, and especially a vaunted lineup like that, you know you got to change things up and you have to alter your approach. So that's when he really started working in the slider and the cutter on those first pitches to get ahead from guys. And we've seen a lot of stuff in the last couple of days about Martin Maldonado. What is he bringing to this team? You know, we know the bat's not there. The pitch framing is something that has really gone downhill since last season. And so there are already calls and cries about what is he bringing to this team here. I'm going to talk about a couple of specific things here. The fourth inning, okay, Crochet is facing Matt Olson. Guy led the National League in home runs last year, 54, set a Braves franchise single season record, which I don't know if you guys know this. The Braves had some pretty productive home run hitters throughout the course of their history here. So Crochet is going out there. He's working both quadrants of the plate, gets squeezed on 2 pitches that had the zone that he could have punched a guy out on, and umpires missed the call. What happens? He goes out there on a 3-2 count and absolutely buries a slider on the very edge of the strike zone there to get a swinging miss right there. When I talk about mindset with a pitcher and pitching with intent, that's what I'm talking about right there. You get squeezed 2 pitches in that at bat when you had a guy put away. You don't wilt under the pressure. You go right at him. You make a quality pitch, and you take a guy who led the league in home runs last year, and you send his fucking ass back to the dugout. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to see. Garrett Crochet really opened my eyes with some of that stuff here tonight.
Would you go as far as to qualify this as a cool and tough outing from Garrett Crochet, Steven?
That is hashtag confirmed.
Yeah, I loved everything you just said there. This is, again, so positive to see this developing right in front of our eyes. Obviously, we talked about it as well. Small sample size still, but things are trending in the right direction. What I really like from this, looking at the box score, you look at those first 4 hitters in the Braves lineup, Acuna, Albies, Riley, Olson. None of them got a hit today. And that's not just Garrett Crochet. You're talking about the bullpen as well coming in here. I saw a clear delineation today, Steven, of bullpen A squad and bullpen B squad. When you're lining up Brebbia and then going to Michael Kopech as well, that seems to be your I'm trying to win a ball game bullpen for Pedro Grifol early on this season. And both of those guys, and Kopech got touched up a little bit, but he got it done when it mattered. The pitching today really helped them win this ball game. I want to talk a little bit about the offense too, because my boy got some shit done today. But what else did you see from the bullpen today, Steven?
So, you know, the bullpen did get squeezed in that 8th inning right there.
That was a brutal call.
Absolutely fucking brutal right there. They had Ronald Acuna struck out. That was a strike him out, throw him out to end the inning right there. And I think, unfortunately, Martin Maldonado getting up out of his crouch a little bit early is probably responsible for the umpire missing that call. There were a lot of pitches on the edge of the strike zone that were missed in this game today. I think particularly at the very top part of the strike zone. And that was another thing that I was very impressed with Garrett Crochet on. Again, working both sides of the plate there, particularly attacking the hitters inside. Cold day today in Chicago at the ballpark. Going to put it right in on the hands, and he was doing that consistently and also working the very top of the strike zone right there. So, again, changing eye levels for the hitters, changing speeds, working and varying his sequences. Again, I think this is where Martin Maldonado and his acquisition is probably going to come into play, helping to guide a young pitcher in terms of his lack of experience as far as being a starting pitcher right there. So that's really important right there. Again, just more of the stuff that I was very impressed with Garrett Crochet today. I know we were talking about the bullpen here, but I got to circle back to a couple of things here. It's fresh. It's in my mind here. I've got a lot of notes here, Anthony. You know, I mean, he went out there. He induced a lot of really soft contact today. Average exit velocity of 85.4 miles an hour against this Barves lineup. And that number was very heavily inflated by that 7th inning right there. Third time through the order, they started to get to him a little bit. Marcell Ozuna had probably the 2 best at-bats against him all night. Ozuna can do that. is a guy that typically hits left-handed pitching very well. So he apparently was seeing Crochet well tonight.
Didn't he have a plane that was supposed to land in Chicago at one point in time?
He might have. You know, I know there was a lot of discussion about that, but you know, we'll save that for another day here. But again, Crochet, the mindset going out there and just attacking this offense right away, not pitching scared, saying, "I'm coming right at you guys with everything I've got, and you're not gonna do anything with it." Sprinkling in that cutter, working that in more. It's just there's so much to take from this outing from Garrett Crochet, positive things to build upon. And this is one of the important things. You and I were talking about this when I called you and talked about jumping on here. There's been so much consternation early on about these first four games and how bad things have looked. I feel like a lot of people don't understand what they're supposed to be watching with this team. This is something that is important that you should be watching. Garrett Crochet and his development. I'm already starting to see stuff about, oh, just think about the haul you're going to get for Garrett Crochet at the trade
deadline. These takes
too. I don't want to fucking hear this shit. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Why? You know what? Do you think he's going to get an extension if this continues?
What you need good players. If he has indeed figured this out, and I was very critical of taking Garrett Crochet. If we go back to rebuild, during the draft episode, I harped on the fact that they drafted him out of the bullpen first round out of the University of Tennessee. I was very critical.
I believe you called it almost a wasted pick. I don't know if those were your exact words, but
you know,
there was something close to it.
Listen, we're not gonna you know relitigate that aspect of things here. But if he is able to figure this out and become a viable starting pitcher here, you need guys like that. I think I maybe in some ways overlooked him working with Brian Bannister over the course of this winter and spring training here and what that could do for him in this potential transition to the starting rotation here. If you have a legitimate starting pitching option from the left-hand side, that is something that you build around. So the trade talk, the talk about, oh, think of the prospects, I don't want to fucking hear it, okay? I don't want to hear it.
You're not going to hear it from me. I think you're right on with that. That's somebody that I would like to keep around if he's going to do shit like this. I mean, I've loved his fastball since he came into the league. It definitely plays. It's overpowering. That's for certain. And the slider right now, man, I know you talked a lot about his cutter, but really that slider is the put-away pitch. That is nasty. I mean, when you're winding up on Pitching Ninja because you're having that many highlights throughout a baseball game, that's a good thing. That's what we want as White Sox fans. So, Steven, I'm right there with you on I don't plan on, you know, wanting Garrett Crochet traded in a year and a half or whenever that time may come where things are there. Chris Getz maybe needs to get out in front of this. What do you think?
I'm not going to sit here and talk about an extension right now here after two starts. I think that is premature here, but just let's see what this development looks like. The early returns here through two starts, again, very small sample size, but this looks like a guy and the stuff here, that is premium level stuff right there. That's the type of guy you want to have in your rotation there when you are trying to win a division title. And if you think that you can do some things in October, because this stuff plays, he looks like a completely different guy.
Yes.
Than what we saw.
I don't think anybody saw this coming out of spring.
No. You know, there was a lot of times, you know, during 2021, 2023, especially when they put in the little, you know, Mickey Mouse, you know, runner on second base, rolling extra innings. And a lot of us were very critical of Crochet in those spots right there, not pitching aggressively and then ultimately getting himself in trouble trying to field his position. It's been like a 180-degree flip here at this point. Again, he's going out there. He's throwing everything with intent and with purpose. And the sequencing that him and Maldonado have had through these first two games, keeping hitters off balance, going in and out, working both sides of the plate, changing eye levels. That's what you have to do in order to be successful as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. What's going to be fascinating here now is as advanced scouts start getting out there, seeing him a little bit more, you maybe make one turn through the league right there. What kind of adjustments then are going to be made? That third pitch, that cutter, that is going to be important. There aren't a lot of guys, there aren't a lot of Johan Santanas out there that can get through major league lineups consistently on two pitches. Now, these two pitches are premium here, but being able to work in that cutter in there, and it was at 15% tonight, and I think that's probably a decent percentage, you know, maybe in that 15 to 20% range, depending on the opponent and what you see from a scouting and from a game plan standpoint. If he stays right in there, that's going to plant a seed in the back of the hitter's mind, at least. And now all of a sudden, you're a little late on that 98 in on the hands that he's boring in on you, and then you fall behind two strike counts. All of a sudden, now you got to think about, okay, I've got to worry about a fastball at the eyes or a slider down and in. Next thing you know, he pops that cutter right in under your hands if you're a right-handed hitter. So now all of a sudden, you've got some weapons there, and this thing could be dangerous.
Steven, you sound like you have the makings of a pitch mix article on OnTap Sportsnet coming soon here. I mean, you did this with Lance Lynn last year. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you were trying to get him out of some struggles. But you seem like you've got some pretty solid research here done on what Crochet's working with.
Yeah, it's, again, small sample size here, so we're going to continue to see how this develops. But the early returns and the early signs of this are very, very encouraging to look at. And again, just the command, even when he was missing, there were very few misses that were wild and errant outside of the strike. So there were a lot of pitches just missing right on the edge of the zone, or even, you know, catching a little bit of the plate that weren't getting called there. So, you know, some of the erratic command that we had seen from him at times as a reliever, we have not seen through these first two starts. And that is something that is extremely encouraging for a guy that you are looking to be able to give you those magical 18 to 21 outs consistently that I want to see.
You know what I liked about that too, Steven, was the fact that when he didn't get the call, he didn't sulk around the mound. He didn't pout about it. He just went right back to what he was doing, and he kept cruising. There was no Lucas Giolito-esque type stuff taking place on the mound. It was a very refreshing thing to watch. I have to ask you this. Like, are you a happy White Sox fan tonight after watching that baseball game?
I am. I am very happy. Everyone knows I love seeing quality starting pitching. And you talk about mindset and not moping out there on the mound when something doesn't go your way. There's two other specific instances I want to talk about. The second inning, he goes out there and he issues a leadoff walk to Matt Olson on four pitches. And, you know, his first walk of the year here. And you think, okay, you know, how's he going to respond for this? He immediately goes out there and boom, pounds Marcelo Ozuna, gets ahead of him right there and gets out of that inning with no further damage done. So you go out there, you have an at-bat that doesn't go your way. You don't let it build. You don't let it snowball on you, because things can snowball very quickly against that Atlanta offense, as we saw yesterday afternoon here. So you got to go out there. You got to flush it real quick and get right back to brass tacks, as we like to say in the business. The other key at bat that I want to focus on here is in the fifth inning. You've got two outs. You've got runners on second and third, and Trump, the catcher, comes up here. Your number nine hitter, you got Ronald Acuna Jr. on deck. That's the guy you have to get in that spot right there. You got a 0-0 game. The reigning National League MVP, one of the three best players in the sport, on deck with guys on base. You got to bury a number nine hitter. Martin Maldonado goes out there, and I'm sure that was the exact conversation that was had. It says, hey, this is the fucking guy you got to get right here. You don't want that guy on deck coming up with the bases loaded in this spot. Go right.
This happened right twice today.
Exactly. Go right at this son of a bitch, and let's get back in the fucking dugout. And that's exactly what he did. So, again, this is where Maldonado and his experience, something that is intangible, that can't be quantified, comes into play here. And I think that that is important for a young starting pitcher learning and trying to find his way, like Garrett Crochet. And this can be helpful for another guy, maybe like Nick Nastrini, when he finds his way up here. So a lot of flack right now thrown at Martin Maldonado. That's an important spot right there from a veteran catcher that's been through wars, won the World Series before, and has a lot of experience catching Hall of Fame caliber pitchers right there, imparting some knowledge on that. And Crochet went out there and he executed. He took the ball and he shoved it up his ass and got out of the inning.
It's cool and tough stuff. It's very cool and tough stuff. We love seeing it here. Steven, Sox get the win 3-2. Let's talk a little bit about the offense today. My boy, Gavin Sheets, in the lineup. A lot of people were complaining about him being in the lineup. You know, who else is going to DH on this team with Eloy Jimenez still injured, not requiring an IL stint, and, you know, we've decided to play a man down. Gavin got the job done early today. Little duck snort out there to plate the first run of the White Sox first victory like that. And a couple other really nice at-bats where he drew some walks, something that we harped on Sunday's show, that this team wasn't walking enough. I think a guy that comes into this lineup has some extended at-bats, draws that pitch count up for the opposing pitcher and gets on base, is a positive development in this White Sox lineup. You also had a home run today from Paul DeJong, the pinch hit home run. That was excellent to see. There's been a lot of people complaining about him online just as recently as yesterday as well. So a lot of guys that have had some doubts cast upon them from the talking heads out there showed up today for the White Sox offense, which still isn't that great, but was good enough to beat the Atlanta Braves today, Steve. I thought, you know, things came from places that we might not have expected them to. It feels good to win that way when, you know, guys just step up that maybe they aren't supposed to. I think Luis Robert Jr. is going through a little bit of a rough time here after that 2-home run performance on Saturday. I want to see him start to get bat on ball a little bit more. I don't know about you, but it still felt good to get the offense from some maybe not so natural places today.
A couple points I want to touch on here. First, with Luis Robert, you're right. He obviously was kind of going through one of those, you know, 3 to 4 game stretches where he's swinging and missing a lot and the strikeouts are racking up. We did see he had the at-bat, I think it was in the 6th inning, where he had the fly ball to the warning track in right center field. That's a ball that probably, on a day that isn't as cold as tonight, probably gets out of the ballpark there. He had another pitch earlier on in that at-bat that he fouled off. So he had a couple of pitches to really hammer in that at-bat. And then he did have the double in the 8th inning that really played, that was integral in setting up that big insurance run that they obviously needed later on there. So, you know, those last 2 at-bats from Luis Robert Jr., maybe he's starting to kind of come out of that short little funk right there. So that's certainly good to see. And to your point, Gavin went up there tonight, had some really good plate appearances, getting himself into some good counts, laying off some tough pitches, borderline pitches, you know, near the bottom of the strike zone there, and putting himself in position to do some damage at the plate. You know, it wasn't, you know, damage in terms of extra base hits right there, but, you know, going in there and, you know, having the RBI single in that bottom of the 6th inning right there, drawing another walk in the 8th inning there. So a couple of really strong plate appearances from him. And then Andrew Vaughn getting his little duck snort RBI single in there. And
your guy, Andrew Vaughn,
you know, the job done. You know, I'm going to continue to tell it like I see it. He has not produced enough. And look, sometimes you just need that little duck snort in there because that's how you won a baseball game tonight. So we'll take it.
Hey, I was about to text you as right before that duck snort came through, just about how Gavin's night was going compared to Andrew Vaughn's. And luckily for all of our sake, because we might not be as happy had that not fallen into the left center field grass that we are right now. It came from unnatural places tonight. It feels good to get the win. Steven, I don't know if we're going to get a ball game in tomorrow. There is some white stuff that's going to fall starting tonight into tomorrow. We've got a 1 o'clock game tomorrow, I believe. TBD is still listed as the starting pitcher. Any thoughts on who TBD might be?
I have no idea, because I believe Nick Nastrini, who, you know, it was rumored that he was kind of lined up for that spot. I believe he's scheduled to throw for Charlotte tomorrow. So that kind of takes him out of the equation right there. I have not even the slightest idea who this could be. Honestly, I think it would be for the best for this team and everybody involved. If this game does get banged tomorrow, not going to lie, I think it would be for the best. Hopefully they make that call and they do it early enough, because I know nobody really wants to get Reinsdorfed tomorrow with this forecast and the way it looks and the conditions as they are predicted to be. Although, you know, we didn't really think we were going to get these first two games in either,
to
tell you the truth. But yet, here we are. I feel like if I had it to do all over again, I would be a weatherologist, because you can be wrong and have no repercussions.
Hey, that's seems like a pretty good gig.
If you can get it.
Yeah, that there's limited spots available in that lineup. Man, I'm still shocked that we got a win over the Atlanta Braves. I might need to put my sunglasses on, because there's a lot of shock in my eyes, Steven. I'm going to have to go find those. That's all I've got, man. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts, Garrett Crochet, you have my attention. Let's keep rolling.
That's it. That's all we've got for today on the Sox on Tap postgame show. Thank you for joining. Thank you to everybody who was in the comments. We'll be back probably on Sunday for another series recap
show. I won't be.
You won't be. I'll be here. But Steven, it's always great talking White Sox baseball with you. White Sox forever.
White Sox for life.